Okay, I think we're live. I can see live. So, morning, everybody, everyone who's watching, and of course, our guests. I'm taking the lead today, but Chris, I've no doubt, will be having an input at some point throughout our discussion. In celebration of International Women's Day, we have got a privilege of two very successful, very inspirational, hardworking women on our hospitality highlights today. So, Ruth, you've led some top teams, won competitions, now opened your own restaurants. And Justine, you actually won Leader of the Year in 2023 for Code's Hospitality Women of the Year, which is amazing, and also run a very successful business and podcast. Obviously, this is a quick chat, so I just want to go straight into our first topic. So, what do women want? And not in general, because we only have 30 minutes, so that would take a lot longer. But what do they want from the industry in terms of support, change, inclusivity? Who would like to go first?
I'll go first.
There we go.
I mean, massively, I think after lockdown has kind of, this has already started, but flexibility in working hours, I think 100%. I think from looking at kind of seeing college students go in, there's a lot of females. That percentage is kind of really right up there, sometimes 80, 90%. And then the older they get, the later they get in their college life, you kind of see a lot of females drop off. And I think a lot of it is due to that, oh God, if I start this career path, am I going to be able to have a family, children, etc.? And so I think just for them, having that kind of security and knowledge that they will be able to get a job and they won't kind of be, kicked against if they want to have a family later on in life.
Okay, and what about you, Justine? Obviously, you're looking at it from a different perspective as well. You're kind of looking in and around, so.
I think ultimately, and obviously Chris just touched on this before when we started, but allies, we want allies. It's not just all of us, it shouldn't just be us women doing all the work. Encouraging men to get on board and really being supportive and hiring more women into their brigades, into their teams, promoting more women, giving women who are doing the work the titles they deserve and making those differences, making that change. It makes, allies. That's literally, I was kind of sitting and really giving this some thought last night and this morning. That was just the biggest thing I think that we as women want and need in the industry to make real difference and change. And collectively, together, we can.
Yeah, I suppose it's important to remember that it's not us versus them, is it? It's a collective. We all want to work together. It's, yeah.
Absolutely.
Ruth, what about you? Is that something you agree with, allies?
Yeah, 100%. And I think actually with other women as well. And I think this partly becomes because of the culture that has been in the past, that if a woman is successful, then you need to remember to leave the ladder there for somebody else to get on, and not just kind of be, okay, well, I'm doing great. You need to be that person that's helping other women up as well. And I think previously in the past, it's kind of been not so much done as well from successful women. So I think, yeah, remembering other women.
Yeah.
You can't just blame men for not being allies.
Yes.
Why
Women supporting women.
do you think that is? Like, what is it why is that behavior there specifically from women?
I don't know, maybe it is because they feel like, if they're successful that they've kind of joined the men's club, if
Think sometimes I'm so unfortunately to say it, women do sometimes feel insecure or threatened by other women. And unfortunately, then they'll get themselves isolate themselves in that territory and not share that with anyone else. And that's the stuff and the stigma we need to break down, right? It's supporting other women. We're in it together. We're lifting other women up. There's plenty of room and for everyone, and collectively we can do amazing things. You can't do something on your own, it's so I think again, breaking that stigma, breaking that sort of mentality around that, success should be kind of held on to, and you've got to find out the hard way. I've done all the hard work, you're on your own. No, what can I share from my journey to help others so that they can avoid those pitfalls themselves? And you know, again, it's, and it's important that we as women, we're always leading by examples, even more so when we are in a position of leadership, when we have been working really hard and achieving different things. How can we help others? How can we share our experiences to help and support others to grow? It's not then about kind of being worried that they're going to take over and steal the limelight, or, you know, give them the limelight, give them that, you know, they need that support. And we should lead by example with that, for certain.
Yeah. Is that something that you both kind of do yourselves naturally, do you think? Do you have people that you think, oh, they're amazing and I want to help them and I want to see them succeed? We were at an event recently and they talked about mentors and having key mentors in your life. Do you think that's something that you two kind of grab onto? And obviously you've been down that path already, so you have the experience of being a woman in this crazy world.
Yeah, definitely. I think definitely kind of later in my career as well. I think maybe when I was younger, I was probably, you know, I said this earlier in the week for something different, but I always used to compete to beat other people. And I think, you know, now I look back and I'm like, why did I do that? Like, the only person that when I now compete is I want to beat is myself and better myself. And that includes, you know, bettering yourself to help others as well.
And I think ego plays a big part in things too. You know, as we get older, like Ruth just said, you know, it's not about the ego anymore. It's popping that whole ego bubble and get over yourself. And, you know, and again, sharing the platforms with others, you know, giving other people the mic and helping them to step up, to have a voice. If you're in a position that you've carved out a route where people are listening to you, and then you want to bring someone and share that platform and help other women to step up and share their voice. And, you know, why would you want to deprive anyone of that? You know, we should all be supporting others and sharing our platforms and pushing everyone forward. And they, in turn, are seeing that example and leading by example themselves. And on it goes and grows.
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned ego, because, Chris, you asked me if women have as much of an ego as men, didn't you, this week? So it's really interesting.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that I think holds us back, you know. Male egos is, we're always doing it for that reward, extrinsic reward, or to be the best, you know, to be, yeah, you know, I'm a man, I'm great at this sort of stuff. And I think specifically within hospitality as well, ego, male ego, is probably one of the biggest things that actually stunts our growth, I would say. So I was curious when I was speaking to Cara, I was like, is that still the same problem with female hospitality professionals and people who work in this great space?
Yes. definitely still a problem. Yes. Across the board, men's egos. Again, going back to ultimately, where does that stem from? It stems from a place of insecurity and feeling threatened. That's it. But, like, you know, again, let me just get over ourselves and, you know, help one another and do things for genuine reasons and supporting one another. And, yeah, bursting that ego, you know, it can do amazing things together from that. That's the magic. That's where the magic happens. That's, you know, really special. And that's how it's community, right? So, and that's very, yeah, all the good stuff.
Ruth, we've talked about what we want, what we would like to see. What are your own expectations of yourself? So what do you want to see from yourself going forward to help inspire, progress, break the mold? What do you think, if you ever do think and list things, are like, these are my expectations for my responsibility?
Yeah, I think I've already kind of started implementing them, but definitely kind of going into schools, colleges, especially so with a doctor school, for example, school level, and not just teaching people about cooking, but it's giving them life skills, giving them, you know, teaching them about fresh fruit and veg. And I think especially with it not being on curriculum anymore, I think us as chefs, you know, we give consumers kind of ideas about what they're going to buy, even like in the supermarkets, so we need to be kind of right at the forefront of what people should be doing, both, you know, for health reasons and environmental.
Justine, what about you?
I mean, I've got, you know, a female team myself here. Again, it's just teaching everyone, leading by example. And I'm just realizing, you know, I like taking on new young individuals, training them up, helping people to realize that everything is possible. You know, I think just giving people those skills is really important. Laying down good, solid foundations, nurturing them, giving people training, giving them support, but recognizing that everything is possible. You know, I started my business from nothing. I then built it up and lost it all in the pandemic and had to rebuild again from scratch. You know, everything is possible. And it's just hard work, determination, but giving people opportunities and really, supporting people and being seen to do so and giving people that same mindset that they can again pay it forward with others.
Yeah. And I think it's good to obviously be positive as well with people and have a dream and aim for that dream. Like, you can achieve anything that you want to achieve, and there's plenty of people around you that will help you do that. And it's fine to take risk, and it's fine to be scared, and they're actually good things. I think a lot of the time you think, oh god, I don't want to do that, I want to be in my comfort zone, but it's good to do those things, right?
That fear is actually the bit when you know, like, when something starts to really scare you, that tells me I'm doing it right. Yes. I always talk about jumping off the cliff and building a parachute on the way down. That's how I do everything, you know, but that's it, you know. Otherwise, we all sit in the complacent, comfortable zone, which is, you know, which is nice and safe, but it's pushing yourself out there and also opening your mouth, talking to people, having a voice, not, you know, being fearless, speaking up, asking questions, you know, and again, finding the right mentors and people who are going to be there to learn from, give you honest advice, good advice, people to uplift you. Surrounding yourself with those types of people makes a difference.
Yeah. I think so. Having the confidence to, you know, change the path, you know, never, if you have a goal and you want to get there, you will get there. But, you know, don't be scared to kind of change the narrative. Maybe what you tried the first time didn't quite work, and, you know, don't give up on the end goal.
I asked you both to think of somebody that you'd like to highlight in hospitality, who you think is paving the way for women and change. And that doesn't necessarily have to be a woman, as we've already discussed. So did you have anyone in mind?
Yeah.
I've got someone. You can go first.
Well, Sally Arbe, she's a good friend of mine, and she is doing amazing things. In fact, she has for years, but I think even more so now, really starting to see the fruits of her hard work and labor, bearing that fruit in everything that she's doing. You know, she's really so active in you know, highlighting about women's equality. Her kitchen, she's, you know, 80% women. She does her International Women's Day events. You know, she's doing these amazing dinners with other women in the industry at the moment. She's writing her amazing book, which I think is going to blow the lid on quite a few interesting things. But yeah, really flying the flag, someone that we could all be taking a leaf out of her book in terms of just that confidence and having that voice and just the things that she's shining light on to make us all sit up and think and make a difference in our own communities and world.
Yeah. I mean, having known Sally a long time, I completely agree with everything that you said. I'm so glad that she is where she is now, because she thoroughly deserves it. So, yeah. And Ruth, what about you?
For me, Lisa Goodwin-Allen, a fellow Northerner as well. But she, you know, her kitchen brigade, it's all very relatively young, and she's really kind of taken the time, and she's got the new restaurant opening. And she's also a mother, which I think is, I mean, I could not even imagine trying to fit all of that in, but she balances it very well and to a really, really good standard.
Yeah, definitely. Chris, did you have anyone, or am I putting you on the spot now?
I think for me, it's not just one person. There's, like, I think you borrow and you take ideas and you take inspiration from multiple people. I mean, when I was chatting to you the other day, Simon Blake from MHFA England at the moment, I think he's a fucking legend. He's just got so much authenticity and honesty, and so much more emotional intelligence. Like, if I aspire to be like anyone, I think that's the role model at the moment in my life. So yeah, but what about yourself, Cara?
Oh god, now you put me on the spot. I mean, equally, I take from quite a lot of people, and I definitely have that kind of imposter syndrome issue where I think, I couldn't do all of those people are doing. I am fortunate to be surrounded by, in hospitality, amazing women. I get to talk to them all the time as well. So, I mean, Ruth and Justine on this call for me is a great a great achievement to have and listen to what you've got to say. So yeah, sorry, bow out a little bit, but there's a lot of them. There is a lot. I can't name them all. Chris, did we have any questions or?
I think we'll open it up to questions. So if people are watching and they want to ask a question to Ruth or Justine, then please do hit up. We've had a few comments. John Stableforth, who is one of our ambassadors and an actor, has commented to say that male ego is a nightmare, both in and out of business. Which there's so many nuances to that that we could go into, right? But you know, and that's
coming from an entirely different episode.
Yeah, that's a whole podcast.
All on its own.
And also, the purpose of this is not to man bash, is it? So, and we have already discussed that ego is relevant, I think, across both sexes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's just a bit more prevalent for males because they're so open and forward about it, whereas I think with women it's maybe a bit more meticulated and thought out and subtle, but yeah.
Well said.
It's still that.
yeah, definitely. The other one we had was from our Australian chief ambassador, Alan Tompkins, who says, I remember a male chef resigning because they promoted a woman ahead of him to the head chef position, not because he didn't get the role, but because a woman did. I mean, that. Well, what are our thoughts on that?
Good luck in your new job then. Bye.
Yeah. Is that perhaps like... Is that the time when we do say, actually, if this is how you're going to be, if that's your attitude, that's your behaviour, then actually, well, you're not right.
It's not okay, is it? It's not okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's blatant sexism, isn't it, really? If someone has a view that strongly and to make such a decision, then really it's, yeah, obviously time to leave and go to pastures new where, yeah, find your own tribe who agree with you, I guess. And times are changing for the better and... Yeah, this is the sort of thing what we've been up against. And this is why making change is so important, that we are working in environments where, you know, we do have allies and people making that change, men helping to make that change by supporting women, hiring women, promoting women. Or we as employers are also opening up those roles to women and promoting the right people based on their merit. And whether that's a man or a woman, it's the best person in that job. But that best person for that job shouldn't be down to just being a man. You know, it should be whoever is the best person and giving the pathway and opportunity for a woman to step up into that role if she's amazing at it. So people who disagree with that, then, you know, that's much bigger conversation.
I feel like it's sad for him. Like it's detrimental to his own career to be not want to welcome that and be better. I think that's really sad for him to go, oh, I didn't get it, so I'm leaving.
That's really again boils down to ego again, though, doesn't it? Ego, yeah. Feeling threatened, a woman's better at this job than I am, you know, screw you, I quit. Okay, bye then, there's your 45. I mean, come on, you know, it's 2024, you know. Yeah. That's just the wrong attitude, it's the wrong mentality, but it's, you know, it's the stuff that's changing now, and kind of get with it, you know.
I suppose there is also a cultural thing. You know, we're talking about this from a UK perspective, but then around the world, there's going to be different cultures and attitudes. You know, there are certain cultures where it's not seen that women have the right level of equal rights, which they should do. And I think that depending on your culture and your background, even if you were to come and work over in the UK, you've still got those really thickly enforced values from how you've been brought up. So what can we do in order to try and help educate and to try and challenge those whilst remaining culturally considerate, I guess?
Don't all get one. Ruth?
No, that's a difficult one, because yes, it's cultural, but you know, it's a human right to be treated as an equal. So I find it very. I mean, obviously, yeah. We've kind of been brought up in a culture where we are. Well, we're getting towards being equal a lot more than in other countries. So I guess it's quite difficult to have a view because it's something that we've kind of always had.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just educating people and, you know, people to be mindful and respectful and just, again, learning, educating, slowly making those changes to people's mindsets and thought processes that they suddenly kind of start to think differently. And it's just those little changes, gradual changes that I would suppose and will make all the difference with someone who's kind of got those kind of rooted views because of a background or the way they've been brought up or culture or religion, that they personally will change those views when they are in a working environment, seeing women doing great things, becoming friends with women, respecting a woman in a role that she's doing, to be like, wow, you're doing that job amazingly, you know, I can learn from you, and like, you know, respect. And then suddenly those feelings and thoughts and beliefs would start to change over time. You know, it's just these little gradual changes that will make the difference.
Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, we were talking about this off air, but, you know, I think it must be, and my maths is terrible, but it must be over 80% of our workforce and my team and the people who are the driving force behind the Burnt Chef project are women. And Emmy, who is our marketing director, Christ, without her, I'd be absolutely nothing. The business would be nothing. And she's just an incredible powerhouse of just knowledge and expertise and experience, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And so from my perspective and asking the question openly is what more can men do ultimately to act as allies for women, and what was it that you would like to see from the male species in order to try and get us to the point where, you know, we are celebrating this on a much more equal terms?
Okay. I mean, I think, one, hiring more women, in the first instance, promoting women into senior roles. You know, these things are all going to be massive, you know, even not just senior role, but titles, job titles. You know, I know women in the industry, you know, have been in certain roles for years at the same title. They've had pay increases, but they haven't had a title shift, even though they're doing way more than their kind of male colleagues in other roles or departments. They've stuck at this kind of level. And, you know, why, you know, recognizing them, supporting them, uplifting them, you know, every male to make that difference and be an ally and making that chat and that little change will make a huge difference over a period of time, and leading by example with that. And then that rolls out everywhere.
Yeah. And Ruth, you mentioned motherhood when you were talking about Lisa. I feel like it is getting there, but understanding that having that flexibility. So, you know, obviously women do want to, not everyone, some want to be mothers. And that does sometimes mean you need to step away. But then it's a bit scary to think, oh, actually, am I going to be able to come back into my career at the same level? Or am I going to get left behind? Or are they going to take me back? They're genuine worries.
I think it is a big, it's a big issue, because it's not just the time needed, you know, once that child is born, it's, you know, all of the lead up, and then whether you're in the right frame of mind to come back afterwards, and if, you know, if your employer's flexible to allow you the time off. But I think also having you know, a lot of companies now having paternity leave is going to help that as well, because, you know, it's allowing fathers to take that time away and mothers can go back to work. So I think, you know, everything's kind of moving in the right direction to be able to do so.
Yeah. Chris, what's the feedback you get from women for the Burnt Chef project? Do you ever get anything that's specific to them, or they want more from you? Or
I think we do get a lot of comments and a lot of messages from women who have experienced discrimination or sexual harassment. And I say a lot, okay, I don't wish to sensationalize this particular subject matter, but we do tend to find that those are the frequent things that we hear, which is still terrifying that it's still going on in today's age and in a modern day society and in the hospitality industry that's come along leaps and bounds in the last 10 years alone. So that's something that we we're proactively challenging and trying to support our educational resources to do with menopause and to do with bullying and that sort of thing are on our e-learning. But yeah, it's a real tough one, because I also naturally I think that Emmy and I have been looking at our demographic and the people that we have appealed to, and yes, 60-odd% of our demographic are chefs, 40% are other roles, but then 70% of them are male. So actually, again, it just shows really interestingly that I think from our biggest demographic of chefs, that actually the women are in no disrespect, but the minority of this, and we need to try and work out how we can balance that out. But as Ruth was saying, I think you mentioned earlier, Ruth, that the colleges now, when we're going in and talking at colleges, actually the male-female split is more favoured for women. And so we're getting a lot more women coming into the industry, which I think is awesome. Like,
I think it always has been like that. I think that it's the after college that's where we're kind of losing them. And I think a lot of that as well is in colleges, I think restaurants are only... that's the only vocation really shown when you go to a catering college, and not thinking about, you know, contract catering and other things that maybe have a bit more of a work-life balance, because it would be great. Yeah, obviously I'm in restaurants and I'd love restaurants, so I'd never do anything else. But, you know, rather than losing people from the business or the hospitality sector completely, why can't we offer them different paths that would mean we'd keep them in the industry, maybe not restaurants, but we'd keep them in the industry at least. And they'll be, you know, fulfilled doing something that they love. Cooking equally is good food. You know, some of these places that only do lunch service, etc., the food's like absolutely banging. Why, you don't have to kind of, you know, depreciate one. There's not a correlation anymore with, I think, you know, the level of food that you can cook and, you know, having evenings and weekends off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about finding that equilibrium, that balance, isn't it? It's like actually saying that, yeah, we respect that you might need additional time off or to be there for your children, and actually being able to balance that, and not just saying that there's one size fits all, not saying, well, this is the time of service, this is the time of a shift, and this is the time it finishes, but actually being flexible. And I think
lockdown's helped that massively. You know, it's definitely the employees' world right now, and, you know, I think employers are having to find, you know, how to jigsaw everybody's needs together, but they're willing to do that now a lot more so than they were before, because they need good people. Whereas before they were probably turning away people that could have been so beneficial to their business just because they were unwilling to be flexible with their working hours and needs.
Mm. I've just been corrected by Emmy. She is watching. She says, our audience is shifting. We are already making progress in just 5 minutes, but no, there's a more equal balance of men and women in the industry. We've seen this over the past 3 years, 60% male and 40% women now. See, what right. would I do without her? I'm always being
always watching. She's always watching.
Hi, Emmy. I hope I'm doing okay.
Did we have any more comments? I'm conscious that we're coming to the end.
There haven't been a great deal of questions, which is curious to me. I wonder why. If there are any last minute questions that you have for our guests, then please do put them up. John has come back on to say that men have spent years battling to be better than each other, where women want to help and support. Some men could really benefit from getting in touch with their feminine side. Oh man, I am so on this. Like, I've said this for years, that I think that naturally you get a greater deal of empathy from women, and I think that there's something that the hospitality industry specifically could really, really benefit from, and there's more empathy, more of that emotional intelligence, I think. And I think that that's something that, with more and more women coming into hospitality or having more prominent roles, I should say, within hospitality, I think that would really, really help shift that balance. Hmm. But no, I think we are all good on questions. I just want to shout out my incredible team. Happy International Women's Day as well to you all. Was there anything else from yourself, Cara?
No, I don't think so. Did Ruth or Justine have any final points they wanted to make?
I don't think so.
No?
Covered it. Thank you.
Well, it's, I mean, Yeah, we're on.
we just hit the time. I'm so happy.
We're still getting used to the pace of these, aren't we, really? So but no, it's been a thank you, Ruth and Justine, and of course Chris as well. It's been a fantastic chat, and next week at 9:30 again on Friday, we'll be joined by recently awarded 2 Michelin star chef Akhtar Islam from Ofeem, and Scott Duncan, the Managing Director of Unox UK. So put a little note in your diary, and we'll see you back here then. But yeah, happy International Women's Day to everybody that's watching, and thank you again, everyone.
Nicely done.